Good morning, everyone. A big thank you to Sharon and to Greta for a really wonderful meditation. I really enjoyed that. It took me to the wonderful places. It's like, we don't need anything else. You guys actually did the whole workshop just now. So thank you so much. Dave, if you could go ahead and end the screen share.
I'd like to say good afternoon from Germany.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome, everyone. All 50 of you so far. Happy Saturday, whatever that means to you, whatever part of the world you're from. I want to give a big shout out to my partner, Margo, who is beaming to us live from London. Hey, Margo.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Charlie. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
It's good to see everyone. Great to be here.
And I'm wondering if I can get someone to, today we're going to be doing readings again, and during the main session, while we're doing those readings, those will be recorded. And so I'm wondering if I could get a volunteer to read our first reading, which we'll do after we start the recording, because all the readings will be available on the website. So is there someone who feels comfortable at reading, who also doesn't mind being recorded? And if that fits you, if you just put up your Zoom hand, and your Zoom hand is different than your regular hand. If you go to the bottom of your screen or look at that, you'll see something that's called reactions, the reaction button. And when you click on that, the first thing you see inside of there is a button that says raise hands. And you just click on that if that's a fit for you. Great. And Anne, you are the first one up. If you'd, when Margo asks, if you'd be willing to read the reading that will be put on screen, and just so that you know what to expect, it's going to be the EA just for today's. With that, Dave, if you would start the recording. And Margo, it's all yours.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Charlie. Welcome, everyone. My name is Margo, and I'm powerless over my emotions without God. Would you please join me in a moment's silence to remember Tradition 5, that we have but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the person who still suffers from emotional problems. We will now say the Serenity Prayer. Feel free to join me if you'd like to unmute. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Alrighty, and I think it was Anne who volunteered to do the readings, if I'm remembering correctly. So, Anne, would you start the reading just for today's? For everyone else, so you know, these can be found on page 233 of the EA Blue Book.
And thanks, if all Anne. Other people would please just mute yourself again so that it's just Anne who's speaking. Thanks.
Would you like me to read this whole page? Is that right?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only, not tackling all of my problems at once. I can do something at this moment that would discourage me if I had to continue to do it for a lifetime. Just for today, I will try to be happy, realizing my happiness does not depend on what others do or say or what happens around me. Happiness is a result of being at peace with myself. Just for today, I will try to adjust myself to what is and not force everything to adjust to my own desires. I will accept my family, my friends, my business, my circumstances as they come. Just for today, I will take care of my physical health. I will exercise my mind. I will read something spiritual. Just for today, I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least one thing I don't want to do, and I will perform some small act of love for my neighbour. Just for today, I will try to go out of my way to be kind to someone I meet. I will be considerate, talk low, and look as good as I can. I will not engage in unnecessary criticism or finding fault, nor try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will stop saying, if I had time. I will never find time for anything. If I want time, I must make it. Just for today, I will have a quiet time of meditation, wherein I shall think of my higher power, of myself and of my neighbour. I shall relax and seek truth. Just for today, I shall be unafraid. Particularly, I shall be unafraid to be happy, to enjoy what is good, what is beautiful, and what is lovely in life. Just for today, I will not compare myself with others. I will accept myself and live to the best of my ability. Just for today, I choose to believe that I can live this one day.
Thanks very much, Anne. That was excellent. Thank you. Charlie and I are now going to briefly introduce ourselves. So my name is Margot, and I'm powerless over my emotions without God. I'm going to be facilitating today's workshop with Charlie. My home group is Emotions Anonymous in the City in London on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. I've been in EA for a few years now and have worked the 12 steps with a sponsor. When I came into EA, I was very angry, miserable and depressed, but through working the sponsor, I've found a new way of thinking and living and have found some peace. If anyone's wondering about my accent, I'm from Australia, but I live in the UK, so I have a mixed British-Australian accent. Charlie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Margot. Hi, guys. My name is Charlie. I'm powerless over the arising of my emotions, but thanks to you and working this program, I'm on a much more joyful journey. I am beaming to you live from St. Paul, Minnesota, and if any of you are wondering about my accent, I'm pretty Irish, besides being Minnesotan. I came into this program 10 years ago when my other 12-step programs just weren't getting me all the way to happiness. I had severe anxiety to the point where I had to check myself into the hospital and felt overwhelmed a lot of the time. And I still experience social anxiety. I was lucky to find a really good sponsor in EA right when I came in, my beloved Russ. At any rate, I am upstairs. My wife is downstairs. My wife's name is Shelley. There's a picture of her behind me. She has no interest in doing what we're doing. She's very happily doing something else. I think she's exercising. I just want to say that it's been really, really helpful to do the work of getting ready for this retreat. I really needed to work my program harder because it's been so difficult lately. And this has been such a gift. So I'm very grateful to be here. Dave, we're going to skip. I'm going to have you skip putting up the screen share about the Zoom guidelines, because I think I just want to talk through this instead of just having something on screen. So folks, just a few minutes about how to use Zoom in a really fun way. The first thing is that when Dave overtakes the screen sometime, putting up the reading, you have the option of deciding how much of the screen you want to have see the people versus how much is gonna be on whatever is being shared. So Dave, if you would put up the Zoom directions for a second, I'm gonna give people an example of that. Screen share for, I think it's called, okay, good ways to use Zoom. So if you look now, you've got a little bar. Take a look at the little box of faces that are on your right. And there's a little white tab, and you can grab that with your mouse, and you can slide that tab to the left, and you can slide it to the right. So go ahead and do that. Play with that for a second. Grab that, slide it to the left, slide it to the right. And you see, you can actually control during a screen share how much you see of the screen share versus you. So Dave is no longer totally in control. Dave, if you would go ahead and end that screen share again. Great. And then just as a courtesy during the rest of the day, if you'd remember to mute yourselves whenever you're not actually speaking. Probably the most important thing is that when we call on readers, please raise your Zoom hands, as I mentioned before, by clicking the inside of the reaction buttons or the participant buttons, the raise hand function. Let's see. Any other Zoom stuff? Well, if there's any other Zoom stuff, I'll come back to it later. Just kind of the only other thing I think is if you don't want to have your screen on, if it's more comfortable for you, go ahead and turn it off. However, it is a stretch sometimes to give the gift of showing our faces. Like, it's a gift to see where all of you are right now, to kind of look around and see your faces and know. But if you're not feeling comfortable, if you need to take a break, like one of the things that I do is when I'm in a meditation, I always turn the screen off because I feel uncomfortable having my face looked at while I'm meditating. So however you need to take care of yourself, go ahead and do that. And with that, we're going to just do a quick review of last night. Those of you who weren't able to make last night, we had our section on awareness. And what we did was we had a review of kind of the last 3 to 6 months. We asked people to sort of check in on how it's been, because there's been a lot more difficulty. It's been a really hard time to be in the world as a human being with the pandemic going on. And it's also been a hard time to be in America with the great political divide, wherever you are about it, a sense of fracturing in our family. And so people carrying what they normally carry, were additionally having the weight of trauma. And so what we discussed was how we can have awareness when it's so painful to have awareness. And especially we practice the tool of mindful self-compassion. So there was several opportunities for us to go into our bodies, calm, and then really find the compassion that we need to stay present with it when it's kind of difficult. Today, when we go on and do more work on that, we'll also learn that sometimes maybe it's too overwhelming for us to sit with what is. And during those times, we're going to practice what we might call touch and go, or orbiting from a distance, you know, and then moving on to something that we can handle. I just want to do one other thing about last night. I wonder if there's any of you who were here last night who'd be willing to share. Remember, we had three questions that went up. And the first question was, what's one thing that you've been carrying? And then the second question was, what emotions that's brought up in your life? And then the third thing was, what tools have you been using that have actually been working? Your EA tools that have actually been working lately to bring you back here and to get you back to ground or to emotional sobriety. So if there's one of you that's willing, I wonder if you would be willing to raise your Zoom hand, if you're willing to check in and just say those three things. You know, one thing that you've been carrying lately that you talked about in your groups, sort of the emotion that goes along with that. And then what tool or tools that you've been using that have helped you to get back to your sobriety in EA and getting back to ground. And so I see that there's an iPad that has a hand raised, and there's no name attached to it, but I'm going to go ahead and invite you, the person on the iPad who raised your hand, to be our first person.
I don't know why, but my face is not showing here. No matter which way I turn it, that's a picture of a friend of mine with the red. And anyway, the thing is, I'm sorry you can't see me. It's not my fault. I don't know what's wrong. I was on an EA meeting, and I was sharing about religion. I didn't know that it's questionable to share about religion, that because it's a spiritual program, but I'm sure some people do follow a religion. And a man at the meeting corrected me in front of everybody and told me I was dividing the group. And I was very angry, but the tool I did, I called a friend of mine in Texas in the 12-step program. And she said, I'm really not supposed to share about religion. I was sharing my own conflict with the two different religions I'm in. So I apologized to the group today. I'm not sure I was wrong or right or whatever, but I did use the tool of asking another person. And I should have called the leader of the meeting to verify with her. I don't know why my face won't show.
Hey, may I ask what your name is?
Oh, my name is Devorah Leah or Deborah.
If you're okay with it, Deborah, I'm going to have Dave type in your name so that it appears from now on. And thank you for your share. Just before going to the next person, I just want to mention that you may have a screen background on, which causes the effect that you're talking about. But at any rate, thank you for your share. And I see that KM has put up her hand to share some things that have happened, your emotions and the tools you've been using.
Well, I have been going through a lot of health problems over the past few years, and I'm in the midst of the second one, second health problem. The first one isn't totally resolved yet. And I guess that's been a large part of my life. And I also try to get my independence back and trying to get a car back. I had some eye surgeries and this, that, and the other thing. And now I'm into another set of issues. I have about three different areas of my body that I'm trying to address right now. So, and then COVID hit. And then, you know, I lost my bird. So I went through a lot of grief. Well, not grief so much for me, but just trying to manage him and manage him through COVID. And it got sort of intense. I ended up having to make a decision for him after he got through some of that to rehome him. So I rehomed my bird. It was, I've had birds for about 10 or 15 years now. And he was the last of five birds that I've had. His mate died right at the beginning of COVID. So it's been a lot of stuff. It's been a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. You know, medical anxiety, I think, is something that I, you know, have had. I also was on medications and went off them 4 years ago, the end of this month. Well, actually, in about 3 days, it'll be my fourth anniversary of having gone off of my my psychiatric medications. And it's getting better. It was a very rough road. I don't recommend it to anybody. But some of the tools that I've used, I tried to focus on, you know, and I haven't gotten really stellar at it. I bought the Today book. I did never bought the EA Big Book yet. I may buy the Spiritual Awakening book now that I've seen parts of it. It looks really good. I'd like to get the 12x12. It's just slowly trying to accumulate things in the library. I got all the pamphlets, and I reached out to try to find a quote unquote sponsor, but I don't actually have a sponsor. I have a recovery buddy. And we have been going through the pamphlets is mostly what we've been doing lately. And every now and then we do the Just for Today if we have time during that session. And we kind of chit chat and we share different things. She shared a lot of meditation stuff that she seems to gravitate towards. Some of it, I haven't really delved a lot into it. And meditation for me is sort of like this big black hole that I don't understand, but I understand it a little better after last night's session. I'm from Massachusetts. And it's the home of Jon Kabat-Zinn. And, you know, the mindfulness guy. And so, you know, I started with that a long time ago, actually. I was, my therapist had requested that I go through a PHP, a partial hospitalization.
Kim, we have to go wrap it up just a little bit shorter.
Okay. Okay, sure. So anyways, I've just been trying to do it just for today's, and the today's work for me right now. And any questions to me, like, you know, that helps me as well. And just trying to minimize my anxiety. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Others volunteered too. And before we move on, though, I'm just going to read that from the chat. Someone put in the tools of breathing, writing, sharing, and saying the Serenity Prayer. And Kathleen also said a tool is being sensitive about how not to be ashamed of my experiences and respecting other people's triggers. Before I pass it off to Margot, want to talk a little bit more again about how the theme for today, one of the themes is using compassion while we practice acceptance and how compassion is related to acceptance. When we bring difficulties to mind, we have to be courageous, but it can be difficult. And so acceptance is letting go of our resistance, but that includes opening to pain, and it's hard to open our eyes to pain. It can require acknowledging that we don't often have as much control over the events of our lives as we'd like. So this is where we need to give ourselves really great kindness and compassion. So one simple way that we learned last night is to put your hand over your heart sometimes and just actually give yourself soothing touch. You know, like, I'm feeling some anxiety right now. I wonder why. And it helps. It helps to have a little bit of soothing touch. Then to ask yourself, if you're having difficulty thinking what to say to yourself, what would a friend say to you if they knew what you were feeling at this moment? And then right now, whatever feeling you've got, I just invite you to think about what somebody that you is really kind would say to you right now, and see if you can say that to yourself right now for whatever your experience is. What came up for me is I got this affirmation that I'll say sometimes, I do my best, and my best is wonderful. And with that, I'll pass to you, Margot.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Charlie. So I'm going to start with just a preview of today's workshop. So a bit about the format. So Charlie and I are going to take turns speaking, drawing on our own personal experience. We're going to look at some definitions of acceptance, some readings on acceptance from the EA literature, a few readings from other sources. Could everyone mute if you're not speaking, please? Thank you. The acceptance in the Serenity Prayer, acceptance in the steps, and acceptance as a spiritual principle and what we can learn from other spiritual practices. I think it's also worth noting that Charlie and I are sharing here in the capacity of members of EA, and we're not experts or any sort of authority. Helpful concept two says that we are only experts on our own stories, how we try to live the program, how the program works for us, and what EA has done for us. No one speaks for Emotions Anonymous as a whole. So if anything we say differs from the EA literature, feel free to disregard what we say and go with the program literature. So I'm going to get into talking about some definitions of acceptance and also maybe the opposite of acceptance. And then I'll hand back to Charlie, and Charlie is going to talk through some of the EA literature and what acceptance what EA literature says about acceptance. So when preparing for this little talk, I went and researched various definitions of acceptance, and one that I really liked, which comes from Wikipedia, says that acceptance is a person's assent to the reality of a situation, recognizing a process or condition, often negative or uncomfortable situation, without attempting to change it or protest it. The concept is close in meaning to acquiescence, derived from the Latin acquiescere, which is to find rest in. So I really liked that definition to start with because it describes acceptance as the assent to reality. And to me, that sounded like it's that we're aiming for something higher, that in accepting things, we're reaching for something higher, a higher state, and it's something that's, you know, it's something that's higher. I also really liked in the definition that it talks about the reality of a situation, because acceptance and reality, to me, go very much hand in hand. it also talks about how we're not trying to change things, so that when we're accepting, we're not changing it. And a part that I really liked is at the end, where it says that the concept of acceptance is very close in meaning to this Latin word, which is similar to acquiescence, which is to find rest in. So for me, I was thinking that acceptance is about kind of finding a rest in something. You know, it's a peaceful place to be. You know, when I'm in acceptance, I do feel quite peaceful. I also found it really interesting and useful to think about, well, what are antonyms for acceptance? So what is the opposite of acceptance? So I looked up antonyms, and the one that comes up first is resistance. And then other words that come up as antonyms for acceptance are defiance, disobedience, antipathy, hostility, ill will, denial, refusal, rejection, repression, suppression. And I found that in reading a lot of these words, you can really feel the tension and resistance in these words. So for me, reading these words that describe the opposite of acceptance, I feel a lot less spiritual just reading the words. So in that original definition of acceptance I read out, I talked about the ascent to reality, or to find rest in. There's something about acceptance which is peaceful. And these words that are the opposite of peaceful have that real sort of negativity and sort of non-spiritual feel to them. And there's one more thing that I wanted to mention just early on about acceptance, and that's a quote that I came across, and it's describing the role of judgment in acceptance. So there's a speaker that I quite like listening to, who's from another fellowship, Sandy B, but I'll read out a quote that I heard him share about in a talk. Incorporated into the word acceptance is an underlying assumption that something's going on that I don't like. If I hadn't made a judgment that something shouldn't be the way it is, I wouldn't have to accept it. If I were able to turn everything over, there would never be anything that was unacceptable, because I wouldn't have judged anything, and acceptance would become moot. So I think this quote is talking about judgment and demands and opinions that we all develop, and that, you know, we get to a point of needing to accept, because we've come up with all these demands and judgments and opinions. We've judged a situation as being unacceptable and wrong, and all the other things that we may have judged the situation to be. But if we hadn't judged the situation in the first place, then we wouldn't be in this position of now having to accept. So I thought that was quite a good quote. We now wanted to move on to another reading. This reading is also comes from the AA Big Book. So it's not EA literature, so feel free to disregard it, but it's a very, very well-known passage on acceptance, and it's really, really powerful. So can I have a volunteer to read this, please? And actually, is Charlie still here?
Yep, I'm here.
Because I think, Charlie, were you going to do your readings first, actually? I think okay. I skipped ahead too soon.
Well, you've already got some hands up. And so right. Let's use, I see Emily had her hand up. Emily, would you like to read the session, the reading that's coming up? And it's from Welcoming the Spiritual Awakening Within Me book. And those of you who have it can find it on page 101. So we'll turn that over to Emily and read both passages that you see, if you would, Emily.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Loud and
Can
clear.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Loud and clear. From Welcoming the Spiritual Awakening Within Me, page 101. The healthier we become, the more able we are to do a healthy 10th step inventory right in the moment. The four A's are an EA slogan, which remind us of four simple steps to doing such a present moment inventory. The four A's are awareness, acceptance, attitude, and action. Using the four A's can take us through the steps of changing our thinking from negative to positive. What we are learning is a simple way we can use the four A's to slowly move our thinking and emotions toward the positive. Last night, we talked about the first step of this process, practicing courageous awareness. This morning, we turned to practicing acceptance, which truly is the gateway to release of the old and welcoming the new. Acceptance. We learn to accept our situations, thoughts, and emotions as they are. We see that most of the pain we feel is because we try to change our thoughts and feelings before we have acceptance of them. We begin to see that we are not these thoughts and emotions, that they are just passing through us. From the EA Big Book, page 19, the love and acceptance we experience in the group help us to accept ourselves. When others accept us as we are, we can more readily accept ourselves. We are then free to change. Acceptance does not necessarily mean we will like we are, nor does acceptance mean we will stay as we are. Acceptance means admitting who we are at this moment and realizing we are powerless to change ourselves by willpower alone. Acceptance means being realistic about ourselves and saying what we really feel instead of what we think we should feel or what society says we should feel. When others accept our feelings without trying to analyze them or judge them, we find the courage to be more honest about ourselves. In this atmosphere, we do indeed grow. EA Big Book, page 49 to 50. Acceptance is not apathy. Acceptance is, this is who I am. This is the best I can do today. Stop fighting. However, acceptance does not mean we resign ourselves to an unkind fate. It simply means we can live today without fighting things we cannot change. Apathy says, I give up. It isn't worth it. I don't care. I don't want to try. Apathy demonstrates how little regard we have for ourselves. It is giving in to the distorted view that there is no hope for us. Acceptance frees us to change. Apathy keeps us locked, and keeps us locked into our emotional and spiritual illness. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Emily. And folks, we're going to have a chance for people to check in a different way. Dave, if you would end the screen share, please. Margot, I'm gonna roll with something that seems like a good spontaneous thing. I see that my friend Sharon Heiberger is with us, and Sharon, I'm wondering if this would be a good moment for you to respond to all of this stuff about acceptance, and maybe share a little bit about acceptance that you've been thinking about lately.
All right, sure, happy to. Thank you, Charlie. The two things that have hit me this year were decidedly things that I could not change. One was COVID in March, and my husband and I both lost our jobs. And then in June, my husband's health declined suddenly in April, and in June he went on hospice, and he died in January. The immensity of both of these things were really helpful because there wasn't a thing I could change about any of it. So that was a real sane moment. I think sometimes I've not been sane about my practice of resistance to life all my life. I'll be 73. And only through AA have I begun to let go of the resistance to what happens. And so I think it's easier to accept when things are obviously nothing you could change. It's the small things that I think are a little harder to detect what's unchangeable. But I made a pact with myself, and my husband and I made a pact together. We were going to accept things the way they are. What also helped us accept things the way they are is we didn't feel alone or helpless in that. We're both 11th step people. We just live by the 11th step. That's a first thing first for us. And so we were not looking just at the events, COVID, loss of health, hospice. We could look at the backlight to those, that there was a higher power behind what we were accepting. And so there was a hope and trust that the higher power would see us through these immense events, bigger than anything we'd ever had in our lives, based on the fact that we knew our higher power had gotten us through other things in our lives. So we kind of had to remember our history of our tendency to resistance and the value of acceptance. So the value of acceptance came for us a greater hope than ourselves. I read once where hope and the small letter H is what we can imagine we can do for ourselves. The capital H is what our higher power can do for us that we can't do for ourselves. And so I was really glad we made a decision to accept everything the way it was. And we had so many things happen for us that it was really almost a joyful experience in our sadness, which is very hard to explain, but we were not alone in it. So acceptance opened us to something greater than ourselves that could happen. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Sharon. Appreciate you sharing about that, and sorry about your loss.
Thank you.
Folks, the challenge that we always have with a group as large as ours is how can we have everyone get a chance to share? Later on, we'll be breaking up into small groups, but right now we're going to do something that we is a little bit different. We're going to call it a chat box check-in. So I wonder if you guys would be willing to just type in one sentence, something that's really jumping out at you since we started, some thought. A sentence, maybe two, you know. Go ahead and type that into the chat box. And then Margo and I will take turns reading some of what jumps out at us from the things that you have said. All of us will be able to see as those appear in the chat, as people start to write things. We'll all be able to read them as they go by, but they can tend to go by fast. And so we'll pick out some of those ones also. Cam says that the bit about apathy, that is to say giving up hope, really jumped out at her. Giving up about apathy as giving up hope.
And Dolores from New York, acceptance, letting go of my resistance of what is. It's a great one.
And Anne added, I'm so happy to be part of this convention. I may not be able to stay for the whole event, but I'm finding it helpful and inspiring.
Thank you for your share as well, Sharon. It was wonderful. Sharon B, gratitude is a word that keeps coming to mind in acceptance. Find the good in everything.
Gonzalem just wrote in that happiness doesn't come without the peace that acceptance brings.
And Terry, how much I still live in fear, resistance, and how I need to remember acceptance and the freedom it brings. Some great insights coming through.
This one, your name is hard for me to pronounce. Sharon Forakis said, acceptance. I need to let go and let go, like it's not done just once.
And from Lydia from Portugal, accept reality and not be self-judgmental or judgmental of others. Gratitude for life.
Cody is being honest. She says she doesn't have a recollection of others supporting her and believing her experience as it is, so she naturally tends to try and fix it if they advise, or despair because it is still the way it is despite how much she tries to change it. And that does sound painful. Thank you.
I'm from Leslie. I appreciate the resistance to antonyms of acceptance. So true.
And Betty L. said, just want to say that for me, it's important to remember that acceptance is not acquiescence to things that are clearly evil.
Anna, Karen from PA, coming to realize lack of acceptance can lead to negative effects in our physical bodies.
Jill from Ohio said, letting go of my love affair with food has opened up my ability to accept my powerlessness over difficult emotions and opened the door for the universe to lead me to EA and certain help for true freedom as I work the program.
And from Journey, to everyone, apathy also struck me. Earlier this week, someone told me that the way I was phrasing acceptance was actually resignation. In this call, I realized it was apathy. Glad to reframe what acceptance is and that it doesn't eliminate possibilities.
And I'll let this be the last one from Karen in Pennsylvania. Coming to realize that lack of acceptance can lead to negative effects in our physical bodies. I can testify to that. So Dave, if you'd go ahead and end the screen share. And then Margot, back to you. Thank you, everyone.
Excellent.
Thank you for your share. It's wonderful to hear from you all.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. So we're now back to the bit that I was jumping ahead to before. So I'm after another reader to read an extract, acceptance. It comes from the AA Big Book, page 417. So does anyone want to volunteer to read it? So we've got two hands up. So not sure if these are new hands or old hands, but Emily, would you like to read? Emily P?
Yeah, I think you're muted, on mute. You're muted, Emily.
I just read, so someone else should take a turn.
Okay, great. I'll remove your hand then. Thanks, Emily.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Go ahead, Margot.
All right. I was going to say, KM, would you like to read?
How do I get this a little bit bigger?
Dave, can you increase the size of the share?
Thank you. From the story, acceptance was the answer in the fourth edition AA Big Book, page 417. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some face of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Unless I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. Shakespeare said, "All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players." He forgot to mention that I was the chief critic. I was always able to see the flaw in every person, every situation, and I was always glad to point it out because I knew you wanted perfection just as I did. AA and acceptance have taught me that there is a bit of good in the worst of us and a bit of bad in the best of us, that we are all children of God and that we each have a right to be here. When I complain about me or about you, I am complaining about God's handiwork. I am saying that I know better than God. For years, I was sure the worst thing that could happen to a nice guy like me would be that I would turn out to be an alcoholic. Today, I find it's the best thing that ever happened to me. This proves I don't know what's good for me. And if I don't know what's good for me, then I don't know what's good or bad for you or anyone. So I'm better off if I don't give advice, don't figure I know what's best, and just accept life on life's terms, as it is today, especially my own life, as it actually is. Before AA, I judged myself by my intentions while the world was judging me by my actions.
Thank you very much for that. That was a great reading. So I thought I'd just give a few reflections on what I got from that before we move on to the next part, which is to look at the Serenity Prayer. So, I mean, it starts out with acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. I mean, the first thing that stands out to me is that this is a very bold statement. And, you know, I always think there's, you know, there's quite a lot of other tools though in EA and in 12-step programs that we can use, but acceptance, I think, is a very, very powerful tool. And then this next statement, when I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing or situation, some face of my life unacceptable to me. That's almost saying that if we're disturbed, if I'm upset or if I'm angry or if I'm frustrated or I'm scared, it's because there's something that wrong with basically the way I'm looking at it. There's something that I'm finding unacceptable. And I can't find it serenity until I accept that. So it's quite interesting because in one way it's putting the power back in my hand to say, well, if I'm disturbed, it's because I'm finding something unacceptable, but I can change that because I can accept it or try to change the way that I think about it. I thought it was really interesting the way he talked about how he needed to accept his problem before he could do anything about it. So his problem was alcoholism. You know, my problem is, you know, problems with my emotions and my reactions to life and to other people. So, you know, I had to accept that I had problems with the way that I felt, that I couldn't fix myself. I had to accept that I had problems, and I had to admit that I had problems. Some other really powerful statements in here about accepting life completely on life's terms in order to be happy. You know, that struck me as being quite a radical proposition. And then again, he's focusing on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. So it's accepting, you know, it's accepting what's out there in the outside world, but looking at, well, what can I change within me? And then, you know, more of it that I related to was the chief critic. I mean, I identify strongly with being a chief critic. I naturally look to others or situations and start thinking about all the ways that I think they should be better or different. And this has been a path to pain for me for a long time. I look at situations at work or with my friends and think, you know, he should do this, they should do that. I can't accept what other people are doing, and it gets me really, really disturbed, and it just leads me to pain. And then what he talks about us all being children of God, and to me that was, you know, he was saying something there about tolerance. You know, if I see everyone else as a child of God, then maybe I can have some, you know, greater acceptance of other people. I thought it was amazing that he said that the best thing that's ever happened to him is being, well, in his case, an alcoholic. For me, needing to be in EA is a great thing that's happened to me because, you know, the problems that brought me to EA, the problems that have, you know, have given me a totally different way of looking at my life, a different way of thinking, and brought me an awful lot of peace and really, really good things. I can also relate to the way he says he judged himself by his intentions, but the world judged him by his actions. So I might think all the time in my mind, I've got these good ideas or these good theories about this, or I want to do this good thing or that good thing. But if I'm running around shouting at people, then they're just judging me by the fact that I'm, you know, running around being really stroppy with other people. So I think there's a lot of powerful things in that reading. And I think awareness of all of these things is really helpful for me, because if I'm aware of it, then I can try to change the things within me I can change. And I can ask God to help me to change the rest. So that brings me to the next topic, which is looking at the acceptance within the Serenity Prayer. And after I've talked a bit about the Serenity Prayer, Charlie is going to do a share on the role of compassion in acceptance. So the acceptance in the Serenity Prayer, the Serenity Prayer gives us, you know, two choices, I think, you know, and the two choices are that we can accept things or change things. And we ask God for help to know which one to do. Do we accept or do we change? And we're also asking God for help to do either of those things. There's an excellent book I read called The Steps We Took by an author called Joe McHugh. And I'm going to read a small extract of that book and then speak a little bit about it. So he writes that we have access to the power to solve any problem, I mean any problem in our lives. If we go back to the Serenity Prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. We can put every problem on one side or the other. A situation can either be accepted or it can be changed. If we are powerless over it, we have to first accept it. Then we can do something about it. But if we have a situation that we need to change, but we are trying to accept it, we are just making it worse. The greatest truth in the Serenity Prayer is, grant me wisdom to know the difference, to know which side to put it on. We need to realize that on our own, we don't even have that. We don't even know whether to accept things or change things. So we ask him for the wisdom to know which is which. So I thought that was a fantastic reading about Serenity Prayer and acceptance versus change. I think one of the things I've had to do is accept that I need to change. You know, my thinking had to change if I was to get well. I also had to change how I treated others. You know, I've also spent a little bit of time thinking about the difference between intellectual acceptance versus a sort of emotional spiritual acceptance. I'm naturally quite a sort of more intellectual thinking, rationalizing type person. And I think, you know, in a way it's, you know, it's God has a sense of humor that he has me doing a talk on acceptance, because in a way it's something that I need to learn more about and learn to practice more. I find acceptance quite hard. It's not naturally something that I want to do, because I want things my own way. And I think that other people and other situations should be different. So acceptance is something that's quite hard for me. There is another little reading that I want to do. And this one comes from the EA Today book, and it's from June the 3rd. And it says, there are so many things I cannot change. What other people say and do and feel is beyond my power, just as is the weather, the passing of time, and my basic physical makeup. To wish otherwise is to waste my energy on a dead end. When I accept the things I cannot change, I free myself to recognize opportunities in every situation. For my own serenity, I will take what good I can from everything I encounter today and leave the rest. I think I might leave it there and hand back to you now, Charlie.
Great. Thank you, Margot. While I was having a chance to look, I looked back and I saw that there were some other things that people said, which we didn't read. Karen said, expectation minus reality equals disappointment. And as I reflected on that, it reminded me of a saying that I used to hear, that expectations are premeditated resentments. So there is a role in my judgments and my non-acceptance. So I want to give you a short preview. We're going to have a small break check-in. We're going to break into small groups, and everyone will get a chance to talk for 5 minutes apiece in those groups. We're going to do that right after. I'm going to share a little bit about my personal story, and then we'll go into these small groups. So again, everyone, my name is Charlie. I'm powerless over the rising of my emotions, but with your help in this program, I'm on a more joyful journey. What I want to share with you is about how EA helped me with my social anxiety, and in particular, how compassion helped me with my social anxiety. And I first want to ask you guys if any of you also experience what I call social anxiety, and if you're willing, if you'd be willing to actually raise your physical hand and put your hand up and leave it there so that we can look around. How many of you actually experience social anxiety? And I'm seeing some people are raising their thumb versions too. So lots of us. Thank you. I feel a lot more eased knowing that you guys have it too. I didn't name it for myself. I didn't name it until just 5 years ago. I'd already been working this program for a while. I'm 59 years old, right? So I didn't actually name that I have social anxiety until I was like 54. That's a lack of awareness. But it was a survival thing. You know, I was trying to survive without the tools that I needed. What was important for me to start to name when I came into the EA program is why I felt this social anxiety. And for me, I was afraid of not being liked. I really needed to fit in. I was especially afraid of people's rejection or even contempt. What happened was that other people, I started checking into my group. I started checking in, I'm Charlie and I have social anxiety, right? Never heard anybody say that before. And I wasn't sure what I'd get. And then what I got was other people started checking in saying the same thing in this group. Like, and it felt so good, you know, to know that I wasn't alone. About the same time I found a good therapist finally. And I started to see how many parts of myself that I was judging and repressing. I'd literally kind of outcast parts of me that were hurting the most because I was afraid of being overwhelmed by them. It's the judge part of me would say, you should be over this by now. And in fact, what was going on, there was a part of me that was just scared and I didn't know how to hold myself, you know? And it was the compassion that I got when I came to this program and the permission to name it and to start to make amends to myself. And my compassion is my primary ninth step amend to myself. So I literally outcast some of these parts, and it was my non-acceptance that was making it so hard, my non-acceptance of parts of myself. So somebody showed me a spiritual math formula, right? What they did was they said, there will always be pain, but suffering is optional. And it's only when we don't accept ourselves and the world that we suffer. And so the formula is, suffering equals pain times resistance. Some of you might have heard that before. In other words, pain's always going to happen to me. But suffering is optional. And it happens the more that I resist. In other words, the less acceptance I've got, the more I suffer. Now, that was good for me. That was a connection for me that I needed to make because the burned hand really does teach best. And I didn't get that it was my own non-acceptance of myself that hurt the most out of everything. So again, higher power showed up at the right moment for me. And the next life-saving medicine that showed up was this compassion that I talked about. I took an 8-week class, which is about how to be compassionate with myself. And it was filled with all these practices, you know, like the putting the hand on my chest and making sure to do an inventory and then being kind while I do my inventory. And understanding things like backdraft. Backdraft is the idea, it's like what happens in a fire. If you open up a door and there's a fire behind it, whoosh. So when I started being compassionate to myself, all the parts of me that needed compassion just rushed forward and said, me too, hold me too, you know? And so I started to feel these feelings. So when I opened up in the program, it actually got worse for a while. My emotions came up more because part of me was available and all these little parts of me were going, me too, pay attention to me, you know, and accept me, please accept me. At the end, I took a year. I realized after this class, I said, I'm taking a whole year and I'm going to be compassionate to myself. It was great. It was great. It made a huge difference. Sharon, you might remember, and Dave, when I started showing up being the kindness guy in our group, you know, just talking about kindness and the importance of kindness, that's when I took that class, right? Well, at the end of the year, I said to myself, I need another year, right? And so I decided to take another year. Well, halfway through that year, my higher power spoke to me, said, this is your work for the rest of your life. You know, my higher power gave me permission, said, for the rest of your life, the way that you work the steps, Charlie, is you're going to work it with compassion. And it's like, oh, God, it was such a wonderful thing to understand that it's not only good for me, it's the right thing for me. It's healthy, it's healing, it's good, it's wholesome. And my higher power told me that laughingly, you know, it was funny to me that it's like, okay, I get to do this for the rest of my life. This isn't working the program. This is like, you know, cookies and hands on my heart. Okay, this isn't hard. So my program got easier. Eventually I was able to bring my compassion to my 12-step work, you know, because everybody else needed the same thing, you know. Then another one of my parts showed up early on in my, one of my survival techniques when I was a kid is I decided I'd be smart because I was in a difficult situation. I figured I'd outthink some of the people who were very smart and very hurtful. Eventually my higher power said when I was starting to be compassionate to myself that I don't need to be clever anymore. I don't need to be clever. What I need is acceptance. And compassion is the medicine that actually allows me to have acceptance. So last night in our awareness session, we practiced the mindful, compassionate first step. It's basically a spot inventory, like a 10-step inventory. When we're having one of those difficult moments, and starting it off completely differently with self-compassion. Like I said last night, I drop a glass on the floor and it shatters. And what's the first response normally? Usually I'm hard on myself. And letting the first response be, oh, sweetheart, you dropped a glass. Isn't it hard when you drop a glass and there's glass all over the place? God, I wish that there wasn't glass all over the place. You know, but being compassionate instead. So this morning we're looking at compassion as acceptance or acceptance. Which acceptance is the magic ingredient in our step work. As Margot said in so many different ways when she was talking about the serenity, acceptance part of the serenity prayer, it's just acceptance is the magic ingredient. So last thoughts from me. When I try to repress my unwanted thoughts or feelings, they just get stronger. They turn into suffering. When I avoid and suppress painful thoughts and emotions, I can't see them clearly. I can't respond from compassion. When I accept them, when I accept how I am, all of a sudden, I've come home to myself. I can only heal what it is that I've allowed myself to feel. Mindfulness and self-compassion are resources that give me the safety that I need to meet my difficult experiences without resistance. So one of my personal favorite practices in meditation is, I think I've said before, that I have to experience this in my body. So one of my favorite practices is that I do body awareness practices, and I'm starting to get comfortable in my body when I'm the most triggered. For example, right now I'm feeling social anxiety. It's weird. I feel present. I feel all these, joyful to be with you. I feel scared. I'm connected. I can feel my higher power working through the conference. All of that's bubbling and I accept it. But I feel it in my body and I can feel that my legs are tense. I can feel that my stomach is a little bit bubbly. I also feel a lightness in my face. I feel some joy up here, you know, so different feelings all over my body. And being present in my body is what my sobriety is now. It's a true coming home. I believe that I'm able to be in the present moment finally. Part of it's being in my body, and it comes from this acceptance. One more thing. When I'm having a difficult moment, I give myself compassion, not because I'm trying to change my emotions or to make my state different, because that doesn't work. I give myself compassion simply because I'm hurting. And I can tell when I'm trying not, when I'm trying to fix myself, you know, and the difference is that I'm really just being kind for the sake that I'm hurting. Okay, with that, folks, I'm going to turn it back over to Margot for the next part. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Charlie.
Welcome. Yeah, thank you very much for that, Charlie. Thank you for sharing so much of yourself with us. That was great. So we are about to have some small group time where you can all share your thoughts and experience of acceptance. This breakout session will be 20 minutes long, and there will be groups of four people with 4 minutes time per person. You will receive a notification on screen that you're about to go into a small group if you are at a computer, but will receive no notification if you are just calling in. You do not actually need to do anything. You will be moved into a small group at the start and back to the large group at the end. During the middle, however, each person on computer will receive a written message when it is time for the next person to share. Please respect when it is time for the next person to share and quickly wrap up your share. There is no obligation to share if you do not wish to. Before we break up into small groups, here are some questions to consider. And I believe they've also been posted into the chat box. So what are you resisting? For example, is there a current situation in your life where you feel that resisting the reality of something is causing you unnecessary suffering and may actually be making things worse than they need to be? For example, procrastinating on something, resenting your current job, your neighbor's barking dog, a political situation or a health issue. How do you cause yourself unnecessary suffering? And finally, what can you do to really have acceptance around this issue? So you will now magically be broken up into groups of four.
Gee, Dave, I guess that you did it right and everybody did get pushed into a small group. I'm going to pause the recording now.
To show, how do I get rid of?
And so now I'm going to turn it back over to Margot.
Great, thank you very much, Charlie. So I'm going to talk for a couple of minutes about acceptance in the steps. And we're going to start out with a reading from the EA's 4A's pamphlet. So can I have a volunteer to read, please? Just raise your virtual hand. Leslie, fantastic. Yes, if you could read Leslie, that would be excellent.
Hi, good morning, everyone. The EA's 4A's pamphlet, Action, Awareness, Acceptance, Attitude. Action, Awareness, Acceptance, and Attitude are referred to as the 4A's. They help us do things that are necessary to our growth in EA. They can be used in any order, although below they follow the progression of the 12 steps. Acceptance. The more meetings we attend and the more attention we give to the 12 steps of EA, the more we see how important acceptance is in our recovery. As this acceptance grows, we become ready to move on to step 5. Step 5 asks us to share our inventory with the God of our understanding, another person, and ourselves. This may be a clergy person familiar with the 12-step programs, our sponsor, or someone else with a working knowledge of step 5. Acceptance by the person we relate our inventory to allows us to begin the act of self-acceptance. As we progress in the program through steps 6, 7, 8, and 9, we find we are willing to ask our higher power for help in becoming a better person. We make a list of those we have harmed and want to make amends to them. In step 9, we make those amends unless it will cause pain to the person we owe the amend to, or to another person. Even if our demands are not accepted, we know we have done our part. Acceptance in our daily lives is necessary for us to find the peace and serenity we seek by working the EA program. It is through the four A's, action awareness, acceptance, and attitude, that we are able to grow in recovery. Sometimes this comes easily, at other times it may be difficult. But if we are persistent in our efforts, our walk will become easier and we will truly come to understand that we are not alone on our journey. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie. That was excellent. Excellent reading. So I was just going to take a couple of minutes now and talk about acceptance through the steps and how I've used the concept of acceptance as I've worked through the steps in EA. So starting with step one. So I think in step one, I had to accept that I couldn't solve my problems myself. I had to accept or concede to my innermost self that the game was up, that my way of trying to do life wasn't working, and that my searching for solutions in the human world had also not worked. So I needed to accept that where I was at that point is where I was. So where I am is where I am. But I also had to accept that I was powerless and also make an admission of powerlessness. In step two, I had to accept that I was going to have to turn to a higher power. And, you know, even though earlier in life I'd been an atheist, I'd been quite a strong atheist because I've always been strongly opinionated. But I got to a point where I was quite done. I was done with how I was feeling. I was done with my life and everything that had brought me to my EA step one and all the things I felt, my misery, my anger, my despair, my anxiety. So I felt I was not left with much choice but to accept spiritual help. I think step three is full of acceptance, really, because it's accepting a God in my life. I have to accept that I'm not in charge. I have to accept that our God's plan, and that I have to accept that, you know, if I'm accepting that God's running my life and that God's plan and God's will is what's in the center of my life, then that means that I'm not in the center. That means that I'm not getting what I want all the time. So there's a lot of acceptance in having to drop my demands, drop my judgments, drop a lot of my opinions and accept that there's a bigger plan for me out there. With step four, so resentment I've heard described as being a lack of acceptance, you know, and I think that rings true for me. I get resentments when a lot of the times so I'm not accepting something that's happening out there in the world, and I get more and more disturbed and angry. Another thing that I thought about for step four is that I think forgiveness helps me with acceptance. So the thought of forgiving someone allows a sort of, I think it's related, it gives a sense of closure. Step five, I think I needed to accept that I needed to share my inventory and my story with someone and with God. And the thing for me though is that I wanted to do that because I was quite broken and I wanted the relief. And I heard lots of people saying that they got relief through doing the steps, that they got peace of mind through doing the steps. I wanted that too. So I just sort of accepted that it's something that I had to do. With step six, it was accepting that I had defects, you know, accepting that I was very self-centered at times. I could be full of self-pity. I could be very focused on myself and self-centered and angry and quick to react to things. And I had to accept that these things needed to go, and I had to see them as being objectionable. And with step seven, it was accepting that I couldn't fix these things myself. I was asking my higher power for help. With 8 and 9, there's an acceptance that, you know, I'd harmed others at times in my life and that I needed to make amends for that. With step 10, if fear or resentment comes up for me, I have to accept that that's come up, but I don't have to accept that that's the way that I'm going to stay. So if I get disturbed and in step 10, if I'm watching what comes up, you know, I have, you know, accept the feeling, but then I don't have to, but then I can use the tools of the program to then, you know, release that resentment or fears. With 11, I'm accepting that I have to put in some actions that are going to help me with develop that conscious contact that I have with my higher power. So, you know, I meditate morning and night, for example, for 10 minutes, and I accept that this is something I need to do because I need to do it to stay well. And it helps me stay well and stay peaceful when I do it. So, you know, there are some times when, you know, I'd rather be doing something else. I'd rather not be, you know, I'd rather watch TV than meditate. But I know that I feel better when I'm practicing and doing these actions. So I just accept that, well, this is part of my life now. If I want to be well, then this is what I do. And with steps 12, carrying the message to others, you know, I have to accept that, you know, I need to spend some time helping others and doing sponsoring, even if I want to be doing something else. So trying to carry a message sometimes can be frustrating. A lot of times it doesn't work, but it keeps the attention. It stops me from thinking about myself all the time, and it gives me a sense of usefulness. So, you know, I have to accept that that's going to be part of my life now, and it's a joy to be doing it. Just with my eye on the time, I think I might pass back to you now, Charlie, if that's all right. If you want to do your next bit.
All right. Well, everybody, if we haven't said so already, I hope that you're taking care of yourself as we go through this. When you need a body break, stretches, whatever. But we've got another 25 minutes before the end of this session. We'll have a big break, time for lunch and some body exercises. But right now, if you're feeling a little bit of shaking it off, why don't you raise your arms above your head, kind of give a wiggle, get rid of some of that energy. You don't have to do this sitting. It might be good to stand up, you know, and kind of shake the whole body a little bit, you know, shake the arms, shake those legs out. And if you want to go through it together, it can help to move the arms all the way back and then move all the way forward, all the way back, all the way forward. And then a neck roll. Just loosen up that kinky thing that's holding up all the weight while you look at that screen. Make sure you go both directions. We're going to have about 2 minutes before I start the next session. If you need to get a drink or go to the bathroom or something, and I'm going to continue with this. You might want to bend over and kind of go forward and backwards to straighten out your spine. And if you've been sitting, it really helps to go forward and backwards. Just actually bend the body and loosen up those tight parts. And trust your instincts. If there's anything else that you're wanting to do to stretch or shake out, go ahead and take care of that. Thanks. Just some thoughts. What's the role of prayer and acceptance? What's the role of meditation and acceptance? How is powerlessness, getting powerlessness, a part of having acceptance? Just questions for yourself. Does understanding your own powerlessness over a situation help you to actually have acceptance? And Margot, I think what I want to do is, since we've got just 20, how many minutes left do we have? We have 18 minutes left for our session. Why don't we break to the large room takeaways from the workshop, if you're game to do that, Margot. So folks, what we would do is we want to have a longer time that Margot will lead for people to share some things that they're taking away from this session before we break for the noon break. Margot?
Yeah, just on the timings, Charlie, I thought we were finishing at 12:30.
Am I early on it?
At 11:30. So I thought we only had a few minutes left. I thought we only had about a couple of minutes left. Which...
Okay. Well, what happens on the next page is probably about a total of 7 minutes. And so I was thinking that this would be a good time for us to invite people to share what their takeaways are for the day and then go into that last takeaway.
Great. Okay. So let's have some time now for us to share together as a big group. Please raise your Zoom hand if you have any thoughts or questions you'd like to share with the big group. Or if you'd rather, type a sentence or two into the chat and we'll read some of your comments from there too. So this main room is now open for sharing. Please raise your hand and I will call on you. This part of the sharing will not be recorded. Oh, this session. So Charlie, would you like to close it out?
Well, you might be surprised to learn that one short reading can sum it all up, but we're going to give it a shot. Is there anyone who would be willing to read our last, just for from the Today Book reading? Put up your virtual hand. I see that Karen's got her hand up. Karen, you want to, Dave's going to put that up on screen.
Okay. Reflections for today on acceptance. Self-acceptance is one of the most important parts of the EA program for me. I am learning to love and accept myself through the 12 steps. I am learning I do not have to be perfect, only human. I have assets as well as defects, as everyone does. I am reminded of the story of the three-legged stool. One leg is our love and acceptance of ourselves. The second leg is God's love and acceptance. And the third leg is our love and acceptance of other people. What a wonderful life I have when I can experience all three of the legs. I am learning about acceptance. When I feel God's love and acceptance, I am able to love and accept myself. What follows is a love and acceptance of others. Meditation for today, God, help me to feel your love and acceptance. May I be the kind of person you want me to be. May I learn what your will is for me and accept it. Today, I will remember my daily spiritual reading and interchange with others is important in helping me feel the presence of God. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. That was lovely. So friends, just before we close, just want to invite you, this session that is, just want to invite you to consider donating to Emotions Anonymous. As we said last night, the EA office hasn't been receiving even a small portion of the donations that it was receiving back before the beginning of COVID because we haven't been meeting face-to-face. And that's where most of the program donations were typically coming from. So as a suggested donation for this workshop, we're inviting you to consider, if you feel flush or if you have enough, to consider donating $50 to Emotions Anonymous. And you can do that not only by copying that hyperlink, which Dave is going to put into the chat, but also, as we were reminded last night by Terry, that there's a thing called snail mail. And you can actually put a check into an envelope and it'll reach our friends down at the office. So please consider donating. And, Dave, if you would go ahead and remove the screen share. So just a little preview about what's coming up. We're going to have a half hour, what we're calling a body break now. So whatever you need to do, have lunch, take a walk. But if you want to actually do some body break exercises, just want to recommend that you consider something called walking meditation. And that's something that can be done right in your house. And what that looks like is you pick a strip in your house that's about 30, 40 feet long that you can go back and forth and walk back and forth and just actually practice being in your body, feeling your feet on the ground and feeling your body and other things that are like that, you know, sitting in a chair and just being with your body. I know for myself, I'm going to be grabbing lunch. So we'll be back together here at noon for the next session, which is on wise attitude. Dave is putting up a prayer on the screen there. And I'm just going to go ahead and read that one. So here's a closing prayer about acceptance, folks. And I'll say it and keep yourself muted, but you can read along with me wherever you are silently. Dear higher power, I open to your guidance and strength. May I love myself just as I am. May I sense my worthiness and well-being. And may I hold myself in compassion. May I be patient and sensitive to the time that it takes myself and others to change. May I live myself life with trust. Thank you.